Chapter 4. Complaining, ye will not come unto me, that ye may have life, and that therefore his gospel is called the gospel of peace and the gospel of grace. But we had some good men, and that of all persuasions and opinions, whose discourses were full of terror, who spoke nothing but dismal things, and as they brought the people together with a kind of horror, sent them away in tears, prophesying nothing but evil tidings, terrifying the people with the apprehensions of being utterly destroyed, not guiding them, at least not enough, to cry to heaven for mercy. It was, indeed, a time of very unhappy breaches among us in matters of religion. Innumerable sects and divisions, and separate opinions prevailed among the people. The Church of England was restored, indeed, with the restoration of the monarchy, about 4 years before, but the ministers and preachers of the Presbyterians and Independents, and of all the other sorts of professions, had begun to gather separate societies and erect altar against altar, and all those at their meetings for worship apart, as they have now, but not so many then, the dissenters being not thoroughly formed into a body as they are since, and those congregations which were thus gathered together were yet but few. And even those that were, the government did not allow, but endeavored to suppress them, and shut up their meetings. But the visitation reconciled them again, at least for a time, and many of the best, and most valuable ministers and preachers of the dissenters, were suffered to go into the churches, where the incumbents were fled away, as many were, not being able to stand it, and the people flocked without distinction to hear them preach, not much inquiring who or what opinion they were of. But after the sickness was over, that spirit of charity abated, and every church being again supplied with their own ministers, or others presented where the minister was dead, things returned to their old channel again. One mischief always introduces another. These terrors and apprehensions of the people led them into a thousand weak, foolish, and wicked things, which they wanted not a sort of people really wicked to encourage them to. And this was running about to fortune tellers, cunning men, and astrologers to know their fortune, or, as it is vulgarly expressed, to have their fortunes told them, their nativities calculated, and the like. And this folly presently made the town swarm with a wicked generation of pretenders to magic, to the black art, as they called it, and I know not what, nay, to a thousand worse dealings with the devil than they were really guilty of. And this trade grew so open, and so generally practiced, that it became common to have signs and inscriptions set up at doors. Here lives a fortune teller, here lives an astrologer, here you may have your nativity calculated, and the like, and Friar Bacon's brazen head, which was the usual sign of these people's dwellings, was to be seen almost in every street, or else the sign of Mother Shipton, or of Merlin's head, and the like. With what blind, absurd, and ridiculous stuff these oracles of the devil pleased, and satisfied the people I really know not, but certain it is that innumerable attendants crowded about their doors every day. And if but a grave fellow in a velvet jacket, a band, and a black coat, which was the habit those quack conjurers generally went in, was but seen in the streets, the people would follow them in crowds, and ask them questions as they went along. I need not mention what a horrid delusion this was, or what it tended to, but there was no remedy for it till the plague itself put an end to it all, and, I suppose, cleared the town of most of those calculators themselves. One mischief was, that if the poor people asked these mock astrologers whether there would be a plague or no, they all agreed in general to answer yes, for that kept up their trade. And had the people not been kept in a fright about that, the wizards would presently have been rendered useless, and their craft had been at an end. But they always talked to them of such and such influences of the stars, of the conjunctions of such and such planets, which must necessarily bring sickness and distempers, and consequently the plague. And some had the assurance to tell them the plague was begun already, which was too true, though they that said so knew nothing of the matter. The ministers, to do them justice, and preachers of most sorts, that were serious and understanding persons, thundered against these and other wicked practices, and exposed the folly as well as the wickedness of them together, and the most sober and judicious people despised and abhorred them. But it was impossible to make any impression upon the middling people and the working laboring poor. Their fears were predominant over all their passions, and they threw away their money in a most distracted manner upon those whimsies. Maidservants especially, and menservants, were the chief of their customers, and their question generally was, after the first demand of will there be a plague? I say, the next question was, oh, sir, I for the Lord's sake, what will become of me? Will my mistress keep me, or will she turn me off? Will she stay here, or will she go into the country? And if she goes into the country, will she take me with her, or leave me here to be starved and undone? And the like of menservants. The truth is, the case of poor servants was very dismal, as I shall have occasion to mention again by and by, for it was apparent a prodigious number of them would be turned away, and it was so. And of them abundance perished, and particularly of those that these false prophets had flattered with hopes that they should be continued in their services, and carried with their masters and mistresses into the country. And had not public charity provided for these poor creatures, whose number was exceeding great, and in all cases of this nature must be so, they would have been in the worst condition of any people in the city. These things agitated the minds of the common people for many months, while the first apprehensions were upon them, and while the plague was not, as I may say, yet broken out. But I must also not forget that the more serious part of the inhabitants behaved after another manner. The government encouraged their devotion, and appointed public prayers and days of fasting and humiliation, to make public confession of sin, and implore the mercy of God, to avert the dreadful judgment which hung over their heads. And it is not to be expressed with what alacrity the people of all persuasions embraced the occasion. How they flocked to the churches and meetings, and they were all so thronged, that there was often no coming near, no, not to the very doors of the largest churches. Also there were daily prayers appointed morning and evening at several churches, and days of private praying at other places, at all which the people attended, I say, with an uncommon devotion. Several private families also, as well of one opinion as of another, kept family fasts, to which they admitted their near relations only. So that, in a word, those people who were really serious and religious applied themselves in a truly Christian manner to the proper work of repentance and humiliation, as a Christian people ought to do. Again, the public showed that they would bear their share in these things. The very court, which was then gay and luxurious, put on the face of just concern for the public danger. All the plays and interludes which, after the manner of the French court, had been set up, and began to increase among us, were forbid to act. The gaming tables, public dancing rooms, and music houses, which multiplied and began to debauch the manners of the people, were shut up and suppressed. And the jack puddings, Merry Andrews, puppet shows, rope dancers, and such like doings, which had bewitched the poor common people, shut up their shops, finding indeed no trade. For the minds of the people were agitated with other things, and a kind of sadness and horror at these things sat upon the countenances even of the common people. Death was before their eyes, and everybody began to think of their graves, not of mirth and diversions. But even those wholesome reflections which, rightly managed, would have most happily led the people to fall upon their knees, make confession of their sins, and look up to their merciful Savior for pardon, imploring His compassion on them in such a time of their distress, by which we might have been as a second Nineveh at a quite contrary extreme in the common people, who, ignorant and stupid in their reflections as they were brutishly wicked and thoughtless before, were now led by their fright to extremes of folly, And, as I have said before, that they ran to conjurers and witches, and all sorts of deceivers, to know what should become of them who fed their fears, and kept them always alarmed and awake on purpose to delude them, and pick their pockets, so they were as mad upon their running after quacks and mountebanks, and every practicing old woman, for medicines and remedies, storing themselves with such multitudes of pills, potions, and preservatives, as they were called, that they not only spent their money, but even poisoned themselves beforehand for fear of the poison of the infection, and prepared their bodies for the plague, instead of preserving them against it. On the other hand, it is incredible, and scarce to be imagined, how the posts of houses and corners of streets were plastered over with doctors' bills and papers of ignorant fellows, quacking and tampering in physic, and inviting the people to come to them for remedies, which was generally set off with such flourishes as these, viz. : infallible preventive pills against the plague. : never failing preservatives against the infection. : sovereign cordials against the corruption of the air. : exact regulations for the conduct of the body in case of an infection. : anti-pestilential pills. : incomparable drink against the plague, never found out before. : an universal remedy for the plague. : the only true plague water. . The royal antidote against all kinds of infection, and such a number more, that I cannot reckon up, and if I could, would fill a book of themselves to set them down. Others set up bills, to summon people to their lodgings for directions and advice in the case of infection. These had specious titles also, such as these. An eminent high Dutch physician, newly come over from Holland, where he resided during all the time of the great plague last year in Amsterdam, and cured multitudes of people that actually had the plague upon them. . An Italian gentlewoman just arrived from Naples, having a choice secret to prevent infection, which she found out by her great experience, and did wonderful cures with it in the late plague there, wherein there died 20,000 in one day. An ancient gentlewoman, having practiced with great success in the late plague in this city, anno 1636, gives her advice only to the female sex. To be spoken with, and see an experienced physician, who has long studied the doctrine of antidotes against all sorts of poison and infection, has, after 40 years' practice, arrived to such skill as may, with God's blessing, direct persons how to prevent their being touched by any contagious distemper whatsoever. He directs the poor gratis. I take notice of these by way of specimen. I could give you 2 or 3 dozen of the like, and yet have abundance left behind. 'Tis sufficient from these to apprise any one of the humor of those times, and how a set of thieves and pickpockets, not only robbed and cheated the poor people of their money, but poisoned their bodies with odious and fatal preparations, some with mercury, and some with other things as bad, perfectly remote from the thing pretended to, and rather hurtful than serviceable to the body in case an infection followed. I cannot omit a subtlety of one of those quack operators, with which he gulled the poor people to crowd about him, but did nothing for them without money. He had, it seems, added to his bills, which he gave about the streets, this advertisement in capital letters, viz. He gives advice to the poor for nothing. Abundance of poor people came to him accordingly, to whom he made a great many fine speeches, examined them of the state of their health, and of the constitution of their bodies, and told them many good things for them to do, which were of no great moment. But the issue and conclusion of all was, that he had a preparation which, if they took such a quantity of every morning, he would pawn his life they should never have the plague, no, though they lived in the house with people that were infected. This made the people all resolve to have it, but then the price of that was so much, I think 'twas 1/2 a crown. But, sir, apostrophe says one poor woman, I am a poor almswoman, and am kept by the parish, and your bills say you give the poor your help for nothing. Apostrophe A, good woman, apostrophe says the doctor, so I do, as I published there. I give my advice to the poor for nothing, but not my physic. Apostrophe alas, sir. Apostrophe apostrophe says she, that is a snare laid for the poor then. For you give them advice for nothing, that is to say, you advise them gratis, to buy your physic for their money, so does every shopkeeper with his wares. Apostrophe here the woman began to give him ill words, and stood at his door all that day, telling her tale to all the people that came, till the doctor finding she turned away his customers, was obliged to call her upstairs again, and give her his box of physic for nothing, which perhaps too, was good for nothing when she had it. But to return to the people, whose confusions fitted them to be imposed upon by all sorts of pretenders, and by every mountebank. There is no doubt, but these quacking sort of fellows raised great gains out of the miserable people, for we daily found the crowds that ran after them were infinitely greater, and their doors were more thronged than those of Dr. Brooks, Dr. Upton, Dr. Hodges, Dr. Berwick, or any, though the most famous men of the time. I was told that some of them got £5 a day by their physic. But there was still another madness beyond all this, which may serve to give an idea of the distracted humor of the poor people at that time. And this was their following a worse sort of deceivers than any of these. For these petty thieves only deluded them to pick their pockets, and get their money, in which their wickedness, whatever it was, lay chiefly on the side of the deceivers, not upon the deceived. But in this part I am going to mention, it lay chiefly in the people deceived, or equally in both. And this was in wearing charms, philters, exorcisms, amulets, and I know not what preparations, to fortify the body with them against the plague, as if the plague was not the hand of God, but a kind of possession of an evil spirit, and that it was to be kept off with crossings, signs of the zodiac, papers tied up with so many knots, and certain words or figures written on them, as particularly the word abracadabra, formed in triangular pyramid, thus. Abracadabra abracada brothers at the Jesuits abracadab mark in a cross. Abracada ih abracades abraca abracothers nothing but this abra mark, thus. ABR ab asterisk asterisk a asterisk asterisk asterisk, I might spend a great deal of time in my exclamations against the follies, and indeed the wickedness, of those things, in a time of such danger, in a matter of such consequences as this, of a national infection. But my memorandums of these things, relate rather to take notice only of the fact, and mention only that it was so. How the poor people found the insufficiency of those things, and how many of them were afterwards carried away in the dead carts, and thrown into the common graves of every parish with these hellish charms, and trumpery hanging about their necks, remains to be spoken of as we go along. All this was the effect of the hurry the people were in, after the first notion of the plague, being at hand was among them, and which may be said to be from about Michaelmas 1664, but more particularly after the two men died in St. Giles in the beginning of December, and again, after another alarm in February. For when the plague evidently spread itself, they soon began to see the folly of trusting to those unperforming creatures who had gulled them of their money, and then their fears worked another way, namely, to amazement and stupidity, not knowing what course to take, or what to do either, to help or relieve themselves. But they ran about from one neighbor's house to another, and even in the streets from one door to another, with repeated cries of, Lord, have mercy upon us. What shall we do? Apostrophe, indeed, the poor people were to be pitied in one particular thing in which they had little or no relief, and which I desire to mention with a serious awe and reflection, which perhaps every one that reads this may not relish, namely, that whereas death now began not, as we may say, to hover over everyone's head only, but to look into their houses and chambers and stare in their faces. Though there might be some stupidity and dullness of the mind, and there was so, a great deal, yet there was a great deal of just alarm sounded into the very inmost soul. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.